Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is the Psalm chapter 90, verse 9 to 17. Psalm chapter 90, verse 9 to 17. I'd like to read. For all our days have declined in thy fury, we have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understand the power of thine anger and thy fury according to the fear that is due thee? So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. To return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for thy servant. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the year we have seen evils. Let thy work appear to thy servant, and thy majesty to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This is the word of God. Today's title is The Teaching Us to Number Our Days, Part 2. Teach us to number our days, part 2. In the last sermons, we saw the Moses prayer where he, as one of the descendants of the fallen Adams, realized the essence of life and confessed before God. When looking at the entire Psalms, Moses' prayer is just one. That is the Psalm chapter 90. I meditated on why the prayer was recorded in the Psalms. In particular, I want to know what motivated him to realize the content of the transience of life and pray to God. When he knew that his death was near, wouldn't he have looked back on his entire life and offered an honest prayer to God? Actually, he was clearly given the command by God to lead the people of Israel to the promised land, the land of Canaan. However, he committed the sin of disobeying God's command at Meribah and striking the rock twice, and thus were unable to enter the land of Canaan. You can find out at the Numbers chapter 20 verse 12 and Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 37. He saying that it was because he was angry with the Israelites that he sinned with his mouth. According to the Psalm chapter 106, verse 33, because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. How did he talk to them? You can find out at the Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. I like to read, and Moses and Aaron is gathered assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Twice afterward, he prayed a prayer of repentance to God, asking to enter the land of Canaan, which he had promised him, but was finally told by God not pray the same prayer anymore, that he would not enter the land. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25 to 26, is God told Moses, Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country as Lebanon's. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough, speak to me no more of this matter. And he saw the death of Aaron because of this, and delivered the office of the high priest through his own hand to his son Eleazar, according to the commandment of the God. You can find at the Numbers chapter 20, verse 28. After Moses had stripped Aaron of his garment and put them on his son Eleazar, Aaron died there on the mountain top. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountains. Moses must have taken a moment to truly and deeply reflect on his life at that point, having seen so thoroughly the path that fallen lives must take. He had sent the end of humanity's unbelief and failure to reflect the glory of God, and he knew that he would soon follow suit. Since the fall of Adam, all human beings have been living in a finite world, and they have seen that even the briefest moment of time is filled with pain and sorrow. They have seen that because they have sinned against God, they are bound to live in the wrath of God. Many of us live with vague expectations that tomorrow will be better than today, or next year better than this year. But our lives are not as we would like them to be. Rather, we live with sorrow and pain from the world and from ourselves day after day with nothing good happening. Even if they try to hide the sins they have committed, all sins are revealed before the Lord, and even the secret weakness is brought to light before his face. You can see that today's scripture, Psalm chapter 90, verse 8 to 9, talk to us. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy presence, for all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years like a tide. Simple humans are subject to time, and the consequence of their sin must end, which they knew would be death. You can find that the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, scripture clearly talk to us. And inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. The time of life leading up to that death is said to be one of labor and sorrow. It refers to the labor of a man in sweat and the labor of a woman in screams of bringing forth children. You can see that Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, it refers to a life of labor and heavy burdens. Also, you can find at the Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. But even the days, years of sorrow and labor are said to be swift and flying by. Today's scripture, verse 10, like a running water, like a galloping horse, like a flying arrow, life in its ears is said to be rushing towards death. There is a sorrow of the decline of strength and function that comes with youth fading away. There is the sorrow of sight becoming dim and hearing gradually fading away. There is an unsteadiness in the steps as one walks. There is the frustration that comes from the mind and the body not being in harmony. All memory fades, reasoning declines, and no one shares my heart or tries to understand me. Loneliness approaches me, the loss of a loved one, those I cherished, bring loneliness. In the place where everything has left, one death waits for me. There is also no harmony in my relationship with God. Fallen lives are God's being. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. And the Lord's word is so that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Yet God counseled us with his word, gave us time, and provided rain, food, and health in due season. Isn't this the long-suffering love of God? By realizing God's love every day and living to please him, there was one who did not see death but was taken by God while still alive, and that was Enoch. According to the Hebrew 11 chapter 11 verse 5, the scripture said is by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. For he obtained the witness that before he is being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He was pleasing to God. How did he please God? The secret was his walk with God. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. The scripture said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For a person to walk with God, they must be of one mind with each other. In the Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it clearly talked to us, do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? I give you another verse of the burden, if two men go together in a way and they not appointed beforehand. Here, the term of walking agreement, Hebrew, is yad, meaning to set to agree. In other words, Enoch, who walked in agreement with God, lived for 300 years, constantly agreeing with God's word in every moment. Because of this, God was greatly pleased with him. If we have this faith, we too can go to God, arrive, and not die. Did not the Lord also walk with God the Father every day? Isn't Jesus confessing as follows? In John chapter 8, verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Amen. Even if we believe in Jesus, receive the word and practice our faith for decades, do we not have envy, jealousy, slander, gossip, arrogance, and other things in our heart that turn other people's heart upside down? Are we, like Enoch, using all the times God has given us, even if it is a short time, to do what pleases God? If we are not doing what pleases God, we have forgotten all the time God has given us. Then, is there no way to regain the time we have forgotten within the time God has given us? The answer is to carefully consider and make good use of the time God has given us. So Moses prayed as follows in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. To number our days properly is not to look at the state of our physical body and the state of our health, but to remember that all of our future, our life, is in God's hands. You can find that in Psalm chapter 31, verse 15. This is wisdom. And when we thoroughly realize how fleeting our lives are, when we realize that we can do nothing about our lives, then we can only depend on God the Father for our lives, our everything. This is the beginning of wisdom, to depend on and seek God. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 to 5. I like to read, Lord, make me know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days and handbreadth, and my right time as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, Selah. To live a wise life according to the Bible, we need to calculate the number of days we each have. How much time is left in my life? Let me teach you how to calculate it. What did Moses say in verse 10? He said that the average lifespan is 70 years, and if one is strong, it's 80 years. Apply either of those to your current age. Subtract your current age from that number, and what's left is your remaining life. That's all that remains. Does it still not feel real? If we are over 70 or 80 years old, we should thank God for the extra years He had granted us. How am I going to live my life when this is all I have left? We are all living on a time clock, and every day is so precious. The important thing is not just to count the days left, but to focus on God, who has given me time to live, to remind myself of the true purpose and meaning of life, and to live as God wants me to live. Those who have gained this wisdom will no longer desire the things of this earth, but only the eternal God and His house. You can find that kind of confession in the Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of God, Lord, and to meditate in His temples. Amen. I ask you to ponder how to deal with the time you have been given in this world, knowing the wisdom of God. For if we do not rely on God, eternal wrath is sure to come upon us. So the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16, I like to read, therefore be careful how you work, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evils. I like to read other versions. Therefore, consider carefully how you ought to conduct yourself, so then you do not live as fools, but as wise. For the days are evil, so make good use of the time that you have been given. Here, the word is the exagorazomenoi. That is, careful and making the most of your time. That meaning is to buy back, to redeem, to regain that has been lost. God has granted the same amount of time to all of us. However, the important question is how we use that time. If we live with the recognition that the time given to us is from God, then that time is used wisely in God's sight. However, when we continue to treat the time as if it belongs to us, use it for ourselves, it becomes an abuse of the time God has entrusted to us. We must recognize that the consequence of whether we use the time given to each of us for good or evil in the eyes of God are eternal life and eternal punishment. How can we use our time for good? The only way is to live all the time by faith and to the glory of God. Apostle Paul said in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. If there is any time in our lives that we have not lived for the glory of God, it is time that we have forgotten. When we count our time in the wheel, how much time do we have left? If we have received God's infinite grace and love, but to this day we have been thinking only ourselves, thoughtful in God's word, ungrateful and unfruitful, we must take hold of the word today, repent before God in prayer, and live in the hope of God's confession and blessings. When we receive God's wisdom and make good use of God's time, God's face will shine upon us and we will receive God's favor, joy, and glory of salvation. Amen. Let's find out the Bibles and read together to close. Please open your Bible, look at the Psalm chapter 90, verse 13 to 17. Psalm 90, verse 13 to 17. Let's read together. Let's start. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days of thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servant and thy majesty to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and to confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Amen.